Hello, I'd like to welcome you to our training today. I'm excited to be with you. First, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Bruce Ackman, and I am the president and CEO and the founder of EasyNet Tools Incorporated. Today's training seminar is titled "Selecting the Best Domain Name." The first information that I'd like to talk about with regards to this is I'd like to just kind of cover just what is a domain name. And a domain name, there's some misconceptions out there, and hopefully I can kind of clear some of those misconceptions up. First, let me give you a little bit of a disclaimer. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to really simplify this. And so in some cases, what I'm telling you may not be 100% correct, but it's going to help you to understand how things work. And it's going to give you the concepts of what a domain name is and how it works, even though it may not be absolutely perfect. And I'm not giving you all the details because I have simplified it so much. But for our presentation today, I think that it will be very good information for you. So first, in explaining what a domain name is, I think that a good thing that we can sort of liken it to is buildings and homes and other things on a city block. If you think of all across the country, we have homes and businesses and buildings all over it. And if those were just out there and there was, I mean, how would we find them? How would we separate them out? How would we know where they are? And so we've come up with a system, and everywhere you go, every building is going to have some kind of a number on it. And so we've come up with this numbering system that helps us to be able to locate any building or any home or any office anywhere in the country. And so everything is numbered. And if you have an apartment in an apartment building or a business suite in a in an on an office building, they're even going to go inside that building and they're going to break those down into different apartment numbers. So anyone will be able to find you, so you'll have your mail will be able to be delivered to you just by listing your street address and your apartment or your suite number. Now, the internet is very similar to the same situation. And I don't know, there are all over the internet. You think about how many buildings and homes and things there are throughout the country. If you think about how many devices there are in the internet, it would be interesting to actually know what that number was and compare it to the number of buildings out there. But I've almost got to believe that it's going to be at least pretty close, if not more, internet devices than there are buildings on the planet. And so somehow we've got the same problem with all these internet devices out there that we have with houses. We need to be able to locate them and know where they are so we can get information to them or get information from them. And so we essentially do the same thing. We give every device on the internet an address. In this case, we call it an IP address. And so it doesn't matter every device, whether it's a laptop or a computer or a server or a tablet or a phone or whatever, every device out there has got to have an address. And so everyone is assigned an IP address. Okay? So those addresses, though, from a human standpoint, aren't very helpful to us. They don't really tell us where things are. There are these long numbers, okay? Now, if you look at internet devices like phones and those kinds of things, typically those only have one user. If you look at a server, most of the time when you have a website, you're actually going to be sharing space on a server with a number of other people. So just like the apartment complex has to give an apartment number or a suite number in an office building, we do the same thing on servers, and we have to designate, an area or a space or a directory for a specific customer, and so we number those as well. And there are different strategies for doing that. So if you think of a server information where you'd put your website, you're going to have the server's IP address, and then you're going to have some kind of an identifier that will tell you a number or something that will tell you where the specific web page is or where that person's account is. So that way we can find anything on the internet. At least if we know what the address is, we can find it on the internet. Now, most of us are not really too into remembering long strings of numbers and characters and you know, being able to walk around. You know, how would you like to say, oh, yeah, go take a look at my website at 122.133.80.12/x3056. I can't even say it in one breath, 39. People would probably, their eyes would glaze over and they would say, yeah, right, I will visit that someday after I'm dead or something. And so that doesn't work for us very well. In the world, when we know people, a lot of times rather than using, you know, a long name, here I've got a name that I made up, William Henry James, okay? That's a pretty long name. And so we're not going to call him that. So a lot of time we use what's called a nickname, and we may just call him Bill, okay? And so that's easy. And if you're, you know, if you can, hey, Bill, that's a lot easier than, you know, shouting out over the crowd, hey, William Henry James. So we're used to doing that. And so in the internet world, we've done the same thing. We take that long address, the IP address, and in the case of websites on a server, the address, the suite number, if you will, and we can condense that down into a nickname, and we call that a domain name. And so really, for all intents and purposes, a domain name is really nothing more than a nickname, or, you know, a shortened thing that we can use instead of using the real address of the computer. And so we don't want to have to worry about that. Now, if you were so inclined and you wanted to go out to your browser and you could type in the IP address and that long string of information, and it would actually go and it would find it directly. But it's a lot easier for us to remember a name. You know, rather than giving somebody that long string, you can say, hey, go visit my website at BillsCats.com. I've got the greatest collection of cat pictures you ever saw in your life. And we can do that. People can remember it. They can go type it in easily. It's a lot easier, so you don't have to, you know, so you're not going to make mistakes when you do that. So anyway, if you think of a domain name as really being nothing more than just a nickname. So let's talk for a minute about how that actually works, because somehow we've got to be able to translate that nickname into the real address. So when we want to get a domain name, the first thing that we need to do is we need to figure out what we want it to be, and we need to put it somewhere so the internet can find it, okay? There are a number of companies out there that are called registrars. And these registrars are basically a giant card catalog for the whole internet. But what they do is they keep all of the information. They keep the domain names, or the nicknames, we'll call them here. They keep the information about who owns it so nobody else can get it. And they keep the actual address where it can be found, or where the information is about that specific domain name. Okay, so in this case, we're using a fictitious site called BillsCats.com, and the registrar would tell us that the information for that could be found at 122.133.80.12, and you don't have to worry about that at all. You don't have to remember that. It has it in its card catalog, and it will look it up for you. Now, there are a number of registers out there. You probably heard of GoDaddy. That's the one that we use. We like GoDaddy, but they're a registrar, and their main thing is just keeping a card catalog of all of these addresses, okay? So what happens? Let's look at what happens, okay? You bring up your web browser, and you want to type in the domain name. Now, there are really two places that you can do this, and I see a lot of people make mistakes when I'm talking with them on the phone, and I get them to look up my website. A lot of times people will type the domain name into the search bar rather than the address bar. And so what they're doing, they actually look it up on Google, and if it finds it, then you can click on it and go to it. But rather than the search bar, you really should type a domain name just into what's called the address bar, okay? And so that's in this particular case, in my Firefox browser, you can see it's up in the top corner up there is where I type in my domain name. Now, if I typed it into Google, it would probably find it, and then I could click on it and go to it. It takes two steps, and if for some reason it wasn't Google, then you wouldn't find it. So it's always better to type it into the actual address bar and go directly to the site. Now, when you type the address into the address bar, whether it's Firefox or Explorer or whichever browser you happen to be using, it will go through a little process. And the great thing is for us is that we don't have to worry about that. We never see it. We never know about it. We don't have to worry about it. It just does it. But I think it pays to understand what it's doing so you make sure and have all of your ducks lined up in a row so everything works like it should. Sometimes when we get people registering domain names, they don't understand the process, and so they haven't completed all of the steps. And I'm really simplifying it here for you, and I'm, like I say, just so you understand what the steps are to get people there, okay? So when you type the address, you type in the URL, and I'll talk a little more about that later, but that you type the domain name into the browser, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to go out to the registrar. And it's going to say, hey, Mr. Registrar, I have this domain name, billscats.com, and I need to know where to find out about it. And so the registrar then hands back the information and says, oh, Bill's Cats information can be found at, and it gives back the browser an IP address, you know, go to 128.36.92.12, okay? So the browser says, okay, thank you very much, and it goes to that number, which I'm sure I couldn't repeat from memory, but it goes to find that number. Now, what will happen is that number is actually the address to what's called a DNS server or domain name server, and that's where the specific information is, okay? And so there are a number of different DNS servers, but whatever company is hosting your website will have a DNS server, and that is where the final information will reside. Okay, so if you think about this, maybe if I was going to find somebody, I would look up, they would give me their address, or it would be on a business card, or I'd look it up in the phone book or something, but I would get their address. Okay, I'd find it. So that's like using the card catalog. Then you go to the DNS server, or what we would liken it to if we were finding a building. A lot of times when I go into a building on the bottom floor there, you walk in and they'll have a directory. And I will look up the directory to find out what the office number is, what floor it's on, and where to go to get it. Okay? So the internet works the same way. First, it goes to the registrar and gets the address of the DNS server. Then it goes to the DNS server to find out the exact location of where that is, okay? And then it can go to it. Now, the great thing for us is we don't have to worry about that. We type in the domain name, and voila, Jiffy Skippy, up pops the page. But this is what's going on behind the scenes, and we don't have to worry about it, okay? But we do need to understand, at least in this simplified form, what's going on. So when we register or when we get a domain name for ourselves, that we make sure that we've done all the steps. Because what will happen and what happens invariably is people will go out to a registrar, they will register their domain name, and then they won't tell the company like us that it's pointing at them. And so what happens is we don't put the information into the DNS server, and guess what happens? Somebody types in the URL, they type it in to try it out. The registrar goes out, it points it to the DNS server, and it comes back. The DNS server goes, hey, never heard of that office. You know, they moved in the night and didn't put it up on the directory into the office. So you've got to make sure that you get both pieces done. You've got to get the domain name registered with the registrar. You've got to get it pointing to the right DNS server, and then you've got to get the information populated into the DNS server so that it can actually find out what floor you're on. You know, it's great to have people come into your building, but if they're all standing in the lobby milling around because they don't know what suite number you have, it's not going to do you much good, okay? And it's not hard to solve that problem. You just need to make sure, in our case, and let us know And we have the procedures for that. So, you know, you just let us know, hey, I'm linking the two together. If we register a domain name for you, we do it automatically. But if you register a domain name yourself, you need to make sure that the place that you're hosting your website knows and links those two together so that when the traffic comes, the people can get to your web page. And so I think that's the main thing I'm trying to come with explaining this to you, is there's really two steps to making this work. And by knowing this, this can save you some problems, because you won't get caught in that, oh my gosh, it's not working, I've got it all registered and it's not working. Okay. So now let's move on, and I want to give you 8 tips for selecting a great domain name. And, you know, there are a lot of things that you need to do to make sure that it's going to work well for you. Any domain name will work, but there are some things that you can do that will make it more effective, and you can make it work better for you. And I'll kind of explain why these things help as we go along through here. Okay, the first one that I want to talk about is keeping your name short. Keep it short, as short as you can, not too short. You know, I've seen domain names out there that are, you know, jdk.com. Well, that's definitely short, but, you know, it misses some of our other tips that we're going to talk about. It's almost too short, okay? But in today's day and age, what I really see a problem with is incredibly long domain names. And you know, you just can't remember those. You got to think that, you know, if I'm giving a guy a nickname, and his nickname, it takes me, you know, 10 pages to write his nickname on, it's not really a nickname. People are not going to be able to use it because it is too cotton picking long. So try to keep it as short as you can. And we'll give you some other tips on ways that you can do that. But try to keep the domain name as short as possible. And there are trade-offs for that, okay? And we'll talk about those as well. But short and simple. Don't make it hard. Back on that one, I had a guy that had a company selling beef jerky. And the name of the company was Rendezvous Beef Jerky. And so we built a website for him. It was actually one of the first websites that we built. And I went, holy cow, rendezvousbeefjerky.com. And, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm not the best speller in the world. And rendezvous was a little tough for me to spell. And I tried and tried, you know, and I'd always spell it wrong. And I thought, man, this is going to be a problem. Rendezvous jerky, even though it was fairly short back in those days, because it was that we didn't have much competition. And so I went back to him and I said, here, I've registered another domain name. I hope you like it, but I think it will do better for you. And so instead of Rendezvous Beef Jerky, we changed the name to GreatJerky.com. Much shorter, much simpler. And, you know, people can actually spell the word great. Most people can. Rendezvous, most people can't spell it. So just by changing it to greatjerky.com, we made it simpler, shorter, and people were able to type it in. He actually ended up changing all of his product packaging so that it was greatjerky.com instead of rendezvousjerky.com, and he had it that way for a number of years. Okay, now let's move on to the second tip. The second tip is to make it memorable. Is it something that somebody can remember? When you run into somebody in the elevator or on the street and you say, hey, visit my website, try to make your domain name something that's easy for them to remember. You know, if it's cats 97631005, okay, people are not going to be able to remember that. If it's cats R us, they're going to be able to remember that, okay? So try to make it easy to remember. Easy to remember and easy to kick back and type in on there. So if you summarize the first two tips, short and easy. Okay. I want to insert in here, when you're thinking about domain name, there are sort of two different ways that you can go with your domain name. You can go with branded, or you can go with descriptive. Okay. If you think about, and you've probably all heard of the term Amazon.com, Okay, what does Amazon.com do? If you had never heard of Amazon before and you were not familiar with it, you might think that it was a website about the jungle or the Amazon River or something. You wouldn't know what it was. But Amazon is so well branded that everyone, almost everyone, knows that Amazon, it sells books. Okay. And so that is what I would call a branded domain name. They're a big company. They have a big footprint in the internet world. And so that's a branded domain name. So you can come up with a name that you're going to brand, and you're just going to get people to know what that is, but you're going to have to work at it because it's not descriptive of what you're doing. Amazon is not about jungles. It's about selling books. Okay. How they come up with that name, I don't know, but it's a well-known name. It's short and it's easy to type in, and usually don't misspell it, so it works well for them. Okay. On the other side of the thing, we've got descriptive. Now, if you were, a small company and you didn't have that branding, but you wanted people to know what it was that you were doing, you could come up with a name like betterbooks.com. Okay. When I read that, I have a pretty good idea of what your niche market is, what you're doing, what it is you're selling. I read that, I go, oh my, they're selling books. Okay. So that's more of a descriptive name. So you can either go with a branded name or you can go with a descriptive name. But again, keep it simple, keep it short, keep it easy to remember. Okay. Now, let's move on to tip number three. Okay, tip number three is to use the .com extension. Originally, when domain names came out into the internet world, there were basically just a few choices, okay? There was .com for companies or commercial sites. There was .org for organizations, typically nonprofit kind of things and things like that. There was .net, which was standard for networks, and usually that was, at that time, more technical kind of things like internet companies and that kind of thing. And there was .edu or .educational companies, okay? And basically, those were the first four that were out there. And then as time passed, now we've got gazillions and gazillions of different extensions out there. It's going to get to the point that you can have a .cat food. You know, there are just so many of them that they're just coming up with new ones all the time, and they're just adding them, okay? My recommendation is stick with the .com. Everybody knows that. It's burned into their brain. They can remember it. You know, when I'm typing, what I find is even if somebody has something different and I know they have something different, for some dang reason, my fingers are trained. And, I can know it's a .net or it's a ., something else. And my fingers just, even though I'm thinking whatever it is, if it's a .edu or whatever, my fingers just automatically wander off and type .com on their own. And I don't know if other people are like that, but, just types .com. So why fight it? Why fight it? If everyone's fingers are like mine and they're trained to type .com, then get a .com. And there's a trade-off here because, you can use a different extension and maybe get a name that's shorter and better, that's similar to somebody else, but that you can still get it because you're using the other thing. So that's the trade-off. But you're going to have confusion if it's close to somebody else anyway. So I always, always recommend, if you absolutely can, get a .com. And if you have to do the trade-off and it's a little bit longer or it's a little bit different, or always go for the .com, because I just believe that you'll do better by going with the .com than using some of these new ones. And use the older they are and the more top level they are, the better off you're going to be. So, if you have to go to, if you're an organization, there's nothing wrong with going to .org. If it's, a nonprofit organization, you could potentially use .net. The .edu, you have to be an accredited facility to get it. You can't just get an EDU. Those are hard to come by. But if you're an accredited educational facility, by all means, use those top-level domains. But use the top-level domains before you drop down and use the other ones. Okay, the fourth tip that I want to give you as well is I want to tell you that the age of the domain name matters. And we're into the search engine optimization world and how the search engines look at things and what they care about as far as your website is concerned. But the age of the domain name matters. So in the search engine world, a new domain name is not going to do as well as an old domain name. Now, there are a couple ways that you can get that. One, you can get a time machine and go back into the past and buy your domain name years ago. Yeah, right. Well, we can't do that. Okay. But we sort of can think about it. Sometimes you can just sort of luck into it. A while back, I bought a domain name, and someone else had it, and it went back on the market, and I snapped it right up. Not on purpose. I should have done it on purpose. It was a great domain name. It just happened to come up, and I happened to nab it just as it came up. And so when I got it, I got the age of the domain name back that the other person had used. And so when you look up in the search engines and things, it says, oh, this domain name's 11 years old. Well, I've only owned it for, 6 months, 8 months, but I get the credit for the person that registered it before me because it's been out there on the internet and it didn't reset itself when it was put back into it, okay? So you can watch for those domain names, and as they come back around, you can snap them up and pick up an older domain name. This isn't critical, but it can help you with your search engine optimization, okay? Another thing that you can do is domain names do go for sale, and I've bought domain names. And, you can pay anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars for a domain name. And to get a good domain name, you may have to weigh that out and see if you think that it's worth it. But the age of the domain name matters. And so you should at least think about that when you're registering. It's not a critical thing, but it can help you, and it's something that you should at least think about. I get people who have a domain name, and as I go through this lesson, they think about, especially when I go into step five, talking about keywords, and they didn't, and so now they think, oh well, now I'm going to go get a new name, and put keywords into it, and so you have to go, oh, let's think about this for a second. I'm going to lose my age, but I'm going to get some keywords into it. So because you didn't do it right the first time, you're going to have to trade off. Then you're going to have to think about that really hard and kind of weigh that out. Because it may not be the best thing to do to trash an old domain name and buy a new one just so you can get keywords into it, okay? And so I sort of got this out of sequence here, but the step number five is to use keywords in your domain name, and that can help you in search engine optimization. If you've got the keyword in the name, then when the search engines spider your site, they're going to go, wow, the keyword's in the name, so this site probably is about whatever the keyword is, okay? If it's about cat food and the cat food is in the domain name, the search engine's going to give you a lot higher relevance because there's a pretty good chance that your website's about cat food, okay? So you can use keywords in your website, and think about that as well. That ties back to a branding versus descriptive. People would know what you're doing if you've got some keywords in your website. So that's sort of a thing. Again, another thing you're going to have to weigh. Do you want your company name, Bill's Enterprises, or do you want whatever the products are, greatboatengines.com. Which one's going to do you the best? And you may need to weigh that out. And actually, you can buy both, and there's some trade-offs to that as well. But you can point multiple domain names at a website. You may get some from a search engine standpoint. You may get some minus points if you point them to the same page. But if you created landing pages for each of the different keywords so that they're different pages, you can get away with that. So Okay. Another thing that you can do in creating your domain name, and this is number six, domain tip number six, you can use numbers and hyphens. And I'm going to kind of throw into this one as well. There are some, I don't know what I would label them as, cutesy things you can do as well. Okay. So first, let's talk about numbers and hyphens, and then we'll talk about cutesy things you can do. Okay. So you can insert numbers. Here are two examples of domain names that I have. Launch the number 2 success, and I guess you could categorize that as cutesy too, because I'm using the number 2 instead of the word T-O, so I'm substituting a word, so that's sort of a cutesy thing, even though I'm using a number, launch 2 success. And so when I tell somebody about that website, I have to say, hey, go visit my website, it's launch2success.com, launch the number 2 success.com, and haven't had any problem doing that, but that's the domain name actually that I was talking about that I picked up that's really old that I happened to just luck into and picked it up and got the age out of it. Okay. So I like that domain name personally, but I'm using a number and that works well as for a domain name for me. Now, the other thing that you can do is you can use a hyphen in your domain name. And sometimes if someone's got one close to you and you just can't quite get it, you can stick a hyphen in there. Again, you got to kind of go through the same rigmarole when you tell somebody about your domain name, but it's easy-nettools.com. So, you know, when I tell somebody to go visit my website, I have to say, hey, go visit my website. It's easynettools.com. And since I'm using a Z and not E-Z-E-A-S-Y, I always have to say E, the letter Z, dash, nettools.com, so that they know how to do it because they're getting the right things in there. And I guess that one sort of fits into the cutesy thing as well. I'm using a letter, so instead of spelling out E-A-S-Y, I'm using E-Z. And there are a number of those cutesy things that you can do as well. I mean, you know, instead of using Y-O-U-U, you can use the number, or that, I mean the letter U. So flowers for you, you could do that. That's sort of a cutesy thing. You would probably be crazy to do it, but you could do flowers for you and spell you instead of Y-O-U. You could spell it E-W-E, like a sheep. But I don't know what sheep want to buy flowers. But you can come up with cutesy things that you can, you know, use other letters in the names. And things. I think that gives you the idea of cutesy things. It's kind of like creating license plates for cars, you know. Sometimes you look at the license plates on the car, you know, you're sitting there and the light's red and you don't have anything better to do, and the car right in front of you has this license plate that has some custom text on it, and you're sitting there scratching your brain. What the heck does that say? And you're, you know, trying to solve the puzzle. So if you're going to do cutesy thing, make sure that it's easy, back to the easy thing. Make sure it's easy to figure out, that it's not a puzzle that somebody has to sit there and scratch their head to sort out. Keep it simple. Keep it short. You know, if you want to do cutesy, that's great, but keep it simple. Keep it short. So, but you can use hyphens and numbers. Other than that, you can't use any other special characters. You can't use anything else in there. So those are really, I think, essentially the only two that you really need to really want to think about. Okay. Tip number seven. Let's talk about tip number seven. Tip number seven is that you can use subdomains. Okay. If you look at my example down here, we've got betterbooks.com. Now, www is typically what you see. So it would be www.betterbooks.com. But you also have the capability to change that. It doesn't have to be www. It can be something else. And you can make that up. Okay? Now, back to the reason that I explained all that junk to you about registrars and all that kind of stuff. This is another place where that fits in. Okay? When you register a domain name, like betterbooks.com, you would have to register betterbooks.com. The registrar does not care what subdomains you put in front of it, okay? Whether it's www, whether it's fiction, whether it's the cow jumps over the moon, they don't care, okay? They only care about the betterbooks.com part, okay? So if you want to use a subdomain like this, you do not contact the registrar, and you do not register that with the registrar. That can be done with whoever's doing your domain name server, your hosting company. So you can register a domain name, and you can put all kinds of other things out there. Now, here is back to putting the keywords in your domain name. This is one way that you can do it, and there's another way you can do it as well. I'll talk about that in a minute. And there's people both ways that think which one is best, okay? But you could put, if I was going for the keyword fiction, okay, I could make my domain name fiction.betterbooks.com. Now I've got the keyword books and fiction in my domain name, so I'm going to score lots of points, right, for those two domain names. I mean, for those two keywords, okay? So all you have to do is go to whoever your hosting company is, and you can use those, and you can – some companies charge, some don't, you know, but you do that with the hosting company, not with the registrar. And you can work your keywords into your name that way. Now, if you've got an old domain name, that's great because you don't have to get rid of it and lose the age and get a new domain name to get the words in there. Plus, it's going to give you more mileage for having the keywords in there. Now, again, you don't want to have these all probably pointed at the same page, which you could. But then the search engines are going to say, oh, you're spamming, because to them, everyone looks like a different site, and they're going to say you copied your site, you know, multiple times. But you can build landing pages, and you can create subdomains like this to point at other landing pages, or you could use this for your primary domain if you want to, but just avoid having too many domain names pointing at the same actual website, okay? So this is something that you can do, and that can work very well for you in your marketing and in your search engine optimization as well. Okay, another thing, the tip number 8, which is sort of our last tip that we do a lot, and that is upper and lower